streaming only today as the Chicago Cubs are on the stick. Last I checked, they had a 3-2 deficit to the New York Mets. No, now they're up 4-3 in the fifth. So it's just Stu and I, Birthday Stu, and myself, Daniel Gilman, here on the Hammer Down Show, 1017thehammer.com. And our next guest is going to break down this draft for us from a different angle. We usually talk to people that are from Purdue and or from the Pacers. This time we're going to get someone's perspective that's been covering Romeo Langford and covering the draft for the Indiana Sports Coverage. It's Drew Davis joining us now, who covered the NBA draft for the Indiana Sports Coverage, also works for 24/7 Sports. How's it going today, Drew?
It's going good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So when you watched the draft last night, I don't know, if did you make an official mock draft or not?
I did, but with all the trades that happened shortly before the draft and during the draft, it kind of threw some things off.
Yeah, it's tough. So now just focusing on the local guys then, where did you have Romeo going and where did you have Carson going?
I want to say I had Romeo going, I think, 15th or 16th in my mock draft, and I had Carson shortly after the first round, the first five picks of the second round.
Well, Romeo goes 14 to Boston, and Carson's going to join him at 33. What's your breakdown of that pick from Boston at 33 of Carson Edwards?
I think it's an interesting pick for Boston. You know, you look at their team and the point guard slot, obviously they have some questions to answer this offseason. Now, I don't think Carson Edwards is the guy to step in and fill a hole that Kyrie Irving would, you know, leave. I think that's just unrealistic to think that he can do that, but, you know, maybe he can carve out a role off the bench or something if he can get into the summer league and play well. Now, the disappointing thing on Carson's, part is he would have been, what, three picks earlier. He would have had, you know, guaranteed money with being in the first round, and instead he goes, I think, 32, and that's, there's not as much guaranteed money coming his way after that. And then with Romeo going at 14, I really like that for him a lot because, you know, you get to go to Boston to play for Brad Stevens. It's a good coach for him, and I know Brad will play to his strengths and put him in spot successful. And, you know, he doesn't have to play right away either. You know, they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the wing. Those are two guys right there that can play a lot of minutes and are still younger as well. And, you know, Romeo kind of gets some time to develop and come into his own, and I think that'll be good for him.
And, Drew, was there any picks that had you scratching your head going, what is going on with that pick?
Yeah, there was a couple in the top 15 that I thought were a little early. I was stunned when Cameron Johnson went that high. I kind of liked him back to where the Pacers were picking and a little bit farther back than that. But when I saw him go that high, I was kind of surprised. I mean, he's got some tools. He's long. He can shoot the basketball. He's a guy that's a late bloomer, so even though he's older, he could still have some good basketball and untapped potential ahead of him. So, I mean, while I see that, I still thought that was a little early for him. And then Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga, I thought Washington at 9. I thought they had better options on the board at that point in time. And, I do see some potential in him, but I didn't like that pick with the value of pick 9 and what was there. And I thought he could have fallen a little bit if Washington wouldn't have taken him. And then another guy I thought went too high was Tyler Hero. When he was selected, I heard he had a great workout, and he shot it really well in front of Miami and Orlando. He had two really good workouts in front of those two teams, and I know that turned a lot of heads around the league. And I still thought that was too high for him. You know, I don't see a lot of long term upside in him as a player, but I thought that 10 to or that 9 to 14 range had some surprises in it from what I was expecting.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't your cookie-cutter draft. We're chatting with Drew Davis, who covered the NBA draft for Indiana Sports Coverage, also works with 24/7 Sports here on the Winds, etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And now you mentioned the Pacers, you mentioned size, you mentioned the ability to shoot, and all those three things kind of converge with the 18th pick as Indiana takes a guy from Georgia, not the state, but the country, in Goga Bitadze.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that I honestly didn't know much about. I think I had seen him play once. It was complete pure accident. Last summer, I believe that his team played Kentucky in the Bahamas, and I happened to watch that game. And at the time, I didn't really have a clue that I was watching a guy that would be selected in the first round of the draft. You know, I didn't really notice anybody stand out on that international team that played Kentucky, but. You know, the Pacers go that route, take the big fellow from Georgia and go. And, you know, what that tells me is a trade up Turner or Sabonis could be on the horizon if they're thinking about that. And that tells me that they're not really want to heavily invest in both of those guys.
And then we saw the Pacers kind of stockpile their 2021 picks. What are your opinions there? As we thought coming into the draft, they had just gotten T.J. Warren. They had just gotten another second-round pick just to see them trade them each to the Jazz and the Bucks.
Yeah, I like the T.J. Warren addition. I'll start with that. But I like that pickup. He's got, you know, a little bit underrated. I've been kind of looking at that since January, February as a potential move the Pacers could make in the offseason. I thought, you know, the Suns would be one to kind of move them. And good value, a guy that, you know, obviously scored 18 points a game last year and shot 42% three-point range. And the guy that can help the Pacers and fill a hole for them. And, you know, with those picks, what I think they're doing by moving off all those second-round picks, I think they were trying to just, you know, save as much salary as possible. The Pacers aren't a team that wants to pay into the luxury tax, so they're trying to, you know, cut as much of it as possible. And by trading those second-round picks, you don't have to take on any salary, and that allows them to do what they want to do, and they can stockpile picks for the future draft.
And Drew, out of the unrestricted free agents, Bogdanovich, Darren Collison, Young, Corey Joseph, Wesley Matthews, and Kyle O'Quinn, who are the guys that you'd like to see come back?
I think Bogdanovich, out of all those guys, would probably be my number one priority. You know, we could space the floor and knock down the outside shot. He's got a really crafty aim, and he can put the ball in the bucket. I had a good season for him last year and was really solid the year before as well. I think that's a guy that should be the number one target. You know, Thad Young with T.J. Warren coming in, I think there's a little too much too much of the same between those two. I think with T.J. Warren coming in, while I won't completely close the door on Thad Young, I think that basically tells me that they're looking to go in another direction there. And you know, Darren Collison is a guy that I kind of wait and see on to see what I could get in the market. If I was the Pacers, I'd wait and see. But if it comes down to, you know, obviously signing a player like Ricky Rubio, which has been mentioned, or bringing back a guy like Darren Collison, I'd much rather be in go with the result that's, you know, cheaper, which would probably be to bring back Darren Collison and keep the guy that you're familiar with. So I just don't see any type of upgrade. We're going from a guy like Collison to Rubio, and for what the Pacers can get, Darren Collison might be one of the better options. You know, I think they may kick the tires on D'Angelo Russell. We'll see what happens there. But obviously that's a lot of salary to spend if you bring back Bogdanovich and then go and try to get Russell. You know, I don't know if the Pacers could do both. But I think those are just a couple of the things that they could potentially do on free agency.
Chatting now with Drew Davis, covering the NBA draft for Indiana Sports Coverage. And so last question here, Drew, covering the local guys here, and you've done so much work with the Indiana Sports Coverage for this draft, isn't it just wild? We're talking about it's just wild that Boston now has Romeo Langford, Carson Edwards, Gordon Hayward, and they're coached by the Zionsville native Brad Stevens.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I saw some people on our forum today were calling them the Indiana Celtics now, and they got lots of Indiana flavor. You know, I could just hear the references now from the announcers, you know, making jokes about them guys better be able to shoot free throws since they're from Indiana and be fundamentally sound.
Yeah, thanks so much, Drew. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a fantastic day.
All right, you too, man. Look forward to joining you again soon.
Absolutely. Drew Davis, who covers Indiana basketball for Peegs. He also covered the NBA draft for Indiana Sports Coverage.